Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, following yonder star. It's the soundtrack of the most beloved story of all time. But was the legendary Star of Bethlehem really a star? And why was it perhaps an even more important feature of the first Christmas than we may have thought? For a Christmas investigation into the true nature of the Star of Bethlehem, we welcome Dr. Colin Nickel, the author of the recently released book, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. Dr. Nickel earned his PhD at the University of Cambridge, where he's also taught, and he was a professor of New Testament at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary before devoting himself to biblical research and writing. So, greetings and welcome to you, Doctor, and a very Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas to you, Ryan, and to all of your listeners. It's a treat to be with you.
Well, and a special treat for us as well, as you stayed up till, I understand, 10 p.m. there in Northern Ireland where you are tonight.
Hey, that's nothing for me. That's nothing for me.
All right, sir. As we get to know you just a little bit here off the bat, I understand that you have a love for studying the Bible and doing research that goes all the way back to when you were just a young lad growing up there in Northern Ireland.
Well, that is true. I am really from my earliest, some of my earliest memories is really just loving Scripture and being fascinated by the Bible, the stories in the Bible, and theology generally. And I remember even when I was about even 10, 11, 12, writing little books of theology, and that being the kind of treasure of my life and what I devoted myself to, even at that early stage, you know, that was my major interest. So I suppose I was always kind of heading in this direction, even from that age.
Well, that's pretty spectacular, because I think of most of our childhoods at that point, we're probably playing with Legos or getting ourselves dirty out in the backyard, and you were writing books about theology, so that's pretty cool.
Well, I tell you, it is one of those wonderful things, really, to discover something exciting. I suppose I've always had that little bit of a research dimension to me, so I just love discovery and asking questions and, you know, really digging in to try and get the answer. And I find that so exciting when it's Scripture and it's living and it's, you feel the power of the text. And that's really always the way I've done my work. So I've never been able to understand people that think the Bible's boring, because to me the Bible is gripping. I find the Bible so exciting and thrilling. And so I'm always mystified when I kind of hear Christians kind of assume the Bible's kind of a bit boring. I just don't understand that, because I think if they really can understand the text and feel the text for what it's saying and not be afraid to jump into it, I think they would be thrilled by the text. It's so living and powerful. Everything Scripture claims for itself isn't just kind of empty words. It's true. It's vital. It gives life. And that's really been my experience since I was a kid, to be honest.
Oh, well, it's exciting just to hear you describe it that way. So as we move it toward the subject of our conversation, what was it about the mystery of the Star of Bethlehem that intrigued you to such an extent to put your skills and your interest for research and writing to work, really unraveling that mystery?
Back in 2009, I saw a DVD documentary about the star, and you know, I didn't find it persuasive at all. But what it did do is it drove me back to the biblical text in Matthew, and caused me to ask the question, you know, what really is Matthew saying? I mean, I'm a big believer, and since a seminary, I remember my seminary professor taught me, you know, when it comes to doing work in other disciplines, let the biblical text drive it. Let the biblical text drive it. Don't just go willy-nilly looking out for another information just for the sake of applying it to the text. So I kind of went back to Matthew and let Matthew give me the clues as to what's going on. And then I did some work in astronomy, and it very quickly emerged that to me, the only thing plausibly the star could be was a comet, because of its movement within the fixed stars and standing over the house, and these various descriptions that we find in Matthew. Really the only thing historically that was described in these terms and that astronomically fit these terms was a comet. So that really set me off. I had a meeting shortly after that with some astronomers in the observatory, and I had the most dynamic and powerful experience. By the end of it, I was actually physically shaking. It was just so intense as I put the biblical data into the equation and they countered with the astronomical data, and the two coming together was like this incredible nuclear explosion. And anyway, that night I ended up having like, oh my goodness, I know I can now figure out not only what the star was, but actually say an awful lot about it. And I was just thrilled with the excitement of that, of the realization that the Star of Bethlehem mystery was actually something solvable, and solvable to a remarkable extent.
The voice of Dr. Colin Nickel here on the road for Faith Radio. He's author of The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. And we do as well have two copies of The Great Christ Comet to give away here. If you're listening and you'd love to have a book, it's a tremendous, tremendous work. It also has some fantastic illustrations and pictures as well. You can head to our website at myfaithradio.com and just look for On the Road to send us a note, and we'll choose some folks to win a copy of Colin's book. But now, Colin, you know, we sing about and we decorate with representations of the Star of Bethlehem all the time, every December. But it's easy, I think, to lose sight of what role exactly the star played in the Christmas story. Could you just spend a few moments and recap that and how it guided the wise men to Jesus?
Well, it is. I mean, Matthew tells us that the star, first of all, it appeared, and the Magi knew the precise date of its appearing because Herod wanted to know the date in order to establish an upper limit, age limit, to slaughter the infants of Bethlehem. So we know the star appeared. We know that it remained visible for a long time. And then at some point, it had a rising. The Magi say, we saw it, his star at its rising, and have come to worship him. So a rising is where a celestial body has been invisible because it's too close to the sun, and then just starts to emerge over the eastern horizon and just becomes visible, and then it begins a period of visibility. That's a rising. So the Magi obviously, in connection with the rising, saw something amazing to them, something incredibly meaningful, because they derived from it that the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, had been born. And that they should come to worship him. So they've derived at this, that someone's going to be born, that someone's the Messiah, and that he's God. And so they are so deeply impacted. They make a journey westwards to Jerusalem. And then when they get to Jerusalem, they have an audience with Herod, where Herod finds out when the star first appeared and passes on the information about Bethlehem being the place of the Messiah's birth. And then as they're walking southward to Bethlehem, they see the star ahead of them in the southern sky. And then later on that night, they see the star standing over the house. And the Magi are filled with joy. Joy, exceeding great joy, as the King James says it so eloquently. And then in that precise location, they find the Messiah with his mother. And again, it's a beautiful story as the Messiah, the Magi are overwhelmed in the presence of the Messiah and fall down before him and present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to him.
That's tremendous just to hear it retold. And also, when you tell it from this perspective, I'm thinking about some of the facets that celestial body was able to do in the story that are quite unique. And that's much of what led you to the conclusion in the book that only one celestial body, as you said, could do the things that the star did. And you describe it as the Great Christ Comet. In your words, an intrinsically bright, very large, narrowly inclined, retrograde, long-period comet. So for those of us in Peoria, Doctor, what does that mean?
Well, it means it was an awesome comet, right? As comets go, it was a great comet. When you have a comet, there are different types of comets. Most comets are kind of a little bit puny. You know, you scarcely would even see them. A lot of them you wouldn't see if you looked up into the sky. But most of the great comets in history were so-called long-period comets. They're comets that take an awful long time to go around the sun. And when they come in, some of them are large, like Comet Hale-Bopp, 1996-97. It is a very large comet, and it became visible a considerable period before it came closest to the sun. So it was actually visible in total for 18 months. That is very like what we're talking about with the Star of Bethlehem. It was a comet that's visible for over a year. So it's a large comet. That, we know that's a large, intrinsically bright comet. Now, when you're talking about the Magi talk about a rising, well, every other celestial bodies that have a rising, and most do, their rising is a very kind of bland event. It's not a very exciting event. It's just a glimpse, a little glimpse of it over the horizon. Boom, the sun extinguishes it. That's gone. They're able to predict it, you know. But it's an important event, but it's still not, it's not surprising and it's not extraordinary. But the rising of a comet that's making a relatively close pass by the sun, that is surprising. Because the ancients didn't understand comets. And that's also impressive because the comet is at its most active at that point. I mean, these are this is telling you that this comet is therefore coming close to the sun. It's coming. It's bright. It stands over the house, pinpointing it. This is some that a comet does, but that's telling you the comet is narrowly inclined because. To cut a long story short, the way the sun appears to travel around the sky is that path that it takes is called the ecliptic or the zodiac. Not to get too technical here, but essentially it means if a comet is along that line, then the comet tends to be straight. The comet tends to be able to stand up when it's setting at certain times of the year. But anyway, what we're talking about then is a comet which is bright, which is large, and we can work out that it's coming the opposite way around the sun to Earth. And one of the beautiful things I set out in the book is how the comet and Earth kind of had this amazing movement in sync to create a marvelous scene to announce the birth of the Messiah. And this comet, really, when you analyze every dimension of it and compare it to other great comets in history, on balance, as I show in the book, The Great Christ Comet, on balance, it emerges as the greatest comet in history. And that's as you would expect, isn't it? I mean, you would expect the Star to be the greatest of its kind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're hearing some fascinating insight from Dr. Colin Nickel here on the road for Faith Radio. Dr. Colin is the author of The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem, a special Christmas conversation here on the road. We do have two of these remarkable books to give away. If you're listening and would just love a chance to win a copy of Colin's book, you can visit myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road and send us a note there, just letting us know that you would love to get a copy of Dr. Nickel's book. What about the other possible explanations that we've heard, Dr. Nickel? Maybe Jupiter is interacting with other planets or stars, or something like a nova or a supernova, meteors, or another ordinary star, or even Halley's Comet. What about all these other plausible explanations for the Star of Bethlehem?
Well, I mean, so many aren't there. I mean, part of the problem, of just as a generic statement, what we can say is none of the positions fits naturally what Matthew says. That's a kind of generic statement we can make. When you think about all the different pieces of evidence, the star appears suddenly and remains visible for over a year. That really rules out everything except a supernova and a great comet, a large comet. The fact that the star does something extra special and surprising at its rising in the eastern sky, that eliminates really all of the possibilities except the comet making a close pass by the sun. That it's in the south within a couple of months after being in the eastern morning sky, low in the eastern sky, I mean, that is something, that kind of movement that requires across the sky, it means it can only be a comet. All the other possibilities are ruled out. When you look at the Jupiter, you know, 3-2, the kind of Rick Larson perspective, I mean, there's so many problems, to be honest with you. I hate to focus on the negative here, but, you know, the fact that it's the star suddenly appears isn't explained at all. Jupiter doesn't suddenly appear. It's always there. You know, the fact that Magi emphasize the rising, that theory doesn't postulate anything really important about a rising of Jupiter in regards to it. The standing over of the house revealing a particular location, again, that theory, the explanation of the standing over just doesn't fit. It's not something that's perceptible within the period of a few hours. the journey times wrong, you know, the astrological assumptions about the ancient world. It just doesn't make sense. And the date is wrong even, too. Regarding a supernova, the supernova is relatively good as an explanation. The problem is that a supernova, there's no evidence of a supernova from 2,000 years ago, and a supernova, like a fixed star, can't move. As for an ordinary star, well, you know, the same issue. An ordinary star can't really stand over anywhere, pinpointing a place.
Sure.
It first appear. You know, so many problems. Meteors, well, they're just not there long enough. And the ancient would have known where there's two meteors, that the two are not separated by months. They would have known it's not the same item, the same entity. And the Magi are very clear. It's the same astronomical body that they're seeing in the south when they're walking toward Bethlehem as they saw in the east.
I think one of the most fascinating discussions that you have in the book, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem, as we talk with Dr. Colin Nickel here on the road for Faith Radio. But one of the questions you see consistently raised talking about the Star of Bethlehem, particularly when you're dealing with people from academia, is you say, well, if there's this incredible a phenomenon in the night sky, why don't we see it documented in other sources that are extra-biblical?
Yes, and this is a very, very important point. And I've actually seen some people responding to the book have seemed not to engage with what I say in the book about this. And it's very important this is understood. We do not have anything like a decent collection of surviving records of comets in the ancient world. We have Chinese records, just in terms of surviving Chinese records, maybe something like 10 to 12 out of an expected 87, right? So we're talking about a very small percentage that remain to this day. Most are lost. Most of the comets that we know about are from scattered references in Greek or Roman literature, where the comet happens to have occurred at a time that seems significant for the telling of the story that they're telling. The issue in Matthew, of course, Ignatius and others that refer to the Star of Bethlehem, this is preserved by the early Christians. Why? Well, because the comet was perceived to be important by the early Christians. It's exactly the kind of thing we get in the Greek and Roman references to comets. Again, you would not expect to find it in the surviving Chinese records because there's so few of them. And the Chinese, the ones that were preserved because the historian of the Han Dynasty thought that some were ideologically important for the telling of his story or have astrological significance. For example, he recorded Halley's Comet in 12 BC because it was perceived at the time to be an incredibly important comet in terms of revealing the destiny of the Han Dynasty. So that was recorded. But what's really important here is that Matthew is giving us indirect access to ancient astronomical records. And that's what's so important. The fact that he talks about an appearing of the star and the rising, we know from Babylonian records, they ceased from about 87 BC, but from the records that we do have, we know that the Babylonians were very interested in comets regarding their first appearance and their rising. Those were two of only five occasions when they actually took notes on what a comet was doing in the sky. And we know from Revelation 12, where I deal with Revelation 12 in the book, we haven't really talked about it, and Ignatius' description, these give real confirmation that we're dealing with a comet. And the big question then is not why it's not in some other records or the astronomical records, but the question is, what is Matthew saying? Because if Matthew is describing a comet, then that is a reference to a comet that we need to take on board. And sure, wouldn't it be nice, and maybe it will happen, where we'll find a Babylonian fragment of this comet record. You know, these things do happen from time to time.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we don't have to wait for that.
Man, absolutely fascinating stuff. Well, let's talk about the wise men for a while, the three kings of Orient. They have so many names, but can you paint us the picture of who the Magi really were?
Yeah, well, the Magi were really professional. The best way to think about them, I think, in this language of magus is often used in this way of an astronomer. And you've got to understand, an astronomer in the ancient world was often an astrologer. Astronomy was done for the sake of astrology most of the time, and astrology required the results of astronomy. So, but clearly there are people that are used to looking up in the sky, because when Herod asked them when the star first appeared, they were able to tell him. The Greek there is quite specific. It's like carefully ascertain the date, you know, the date. So they're able to give him precisely when this the star first appeared. So there are clearly people that are looking up into the heavens, making regular records, and have a record of when the star first appeared. So again, astronomers probably doing some astrology, but at the same time, the question of where they're from comes up. And, you know, a few suggestions: Arabia, Persia, Babylon, which at that time was part of the Parthian Empire. We know that Babylon is, I think, by far the favorite option, because we have the Magi have clearly been exposed to Jewish teaching and exposed to this Jewish scriptures, which is how they're able to interpret what they see. And that's easiest to explain, as many scholars have pointed out, if they're in Babylon, where there's a large Jewish population. At the same time, Babylon's also the center of astronomy in the ancient world. They have records going back hundreds of years. They understood comets as well as anybody in the ancient world. In fact, anybody really up until the medieval period, their knowledge was that good. And so it's really natural to assume that these men were coming from Babylon, which of course is basically due east of Jerusalem. So that would be the little bit that we can say about the Magi. Obviously, there's a lot of traditions about the Magi which are speculative, but in terms of the important stuff, that would be it.
Just as we close out, Dr. Colin Nicol, author of The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem, here on the road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. It's such a fascinating topic that I wish that we could just keep going, but we know we need to let you get back to your evening there in Northern Ireland, especially as it advances, the clock advances later into the night. Should we continue to sing the song, the carol, We Three Kings, Dr. Nicol, or is it time to start singing comet carols?
Well, you know, that once you look actually at the carols, which I did a little study of this a couple of months ago, and it really is really neat. Most of the carols are pretty accurate in how they portray the star. I mean, there's some exceptions, but they often describe the star as new or as a stranger amidst the orbs of light. They realize that the star did lead the Magi westwards across the wilderness. They emphasize that the star was extremely bright when it was in the east, that shone brightly as it guided the Magi westwards. So it really remarkably, you find that the carols are, you can sing them with some gusto, because they are largely right. I mean, the First Noel gets it wrong. It says the star was in the northwest. I mean, that's clearly wrong. But, you know, if we substitute it with maybe southwest, then the carol's accurate. We can sing it again, you know. one of the things I do hope in all seriousness is that we do get, you know, that reading this book will inspire artists and hymnists and songwriters and people of all professions, really, that to think how to express the Star of Bethlehem in a way which is true to history and really draws out the awesome nature of what happened. Is one of the things that's really cool about the book is it enables us to really get into the minds of the Magi and feel what they felt and think what they thought and get into their sandals as they're following it. And it's that to me is just so exciting, because you feel suddenly these guys who go from being so strange, so alien, almost kind of like, what are they doing? You know, why are they doing this? And suddenly when you get it, it's like, oh my goodness, if I were there, I would have gone too. I would have been right with them, you know, and why are they falling down before Jesus? My goodness, I would have been falling down before Jesus if I had been privileged to witness this incredible phenomenon and follow it and it lead me right to his very door, you know. So that's one of the exciting things. And I hope that for people, the average Christian this year and in following years, that really this book enables them to find a freshness in their understanding of Christmas, enter into the nativity story in a way they've never been able to before, and feel its power and feel the awesome nature of the Messiah whose star this was.
Dr. Nickel, we just love your passion. We love your insight and the real intellectual study that you've given to this issue of the Star of Bethlehem. And I know that the book, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem, is one of the bestsellers on Amazon.com. But is there anywhere else that you'd recommend people would go to check out this book and your other work as well?
Well, I mean, we have a dedicated website called The Great Christ, just called GreatChristComet.com, and there you can read a little bit about the book, see some of the endorsements, and that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's maybe a good first port of call.
Absolutely. And we do have the two books to give away, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. If you'd like a chance to win one of those two copies, you can head to MyFaithRadio.com and just look for On the Road to send us a note there. But sir, it was a real pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for investing the time to talk with us today.
Hey Ryan, I love talking to you. I love your enthusiasm. Your listeners are privileged to have you on their radio.
Oh, thank you so much, sir, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit MyFaithRadio.com.